So obviously, if you look around the desert, our soil is really good at growing creosote, saguaros, mesquites. Maybe not always the things we enjoy to eat. So if we're going to plant a vegetable garden, something we're going to enjoy, where do we get started in our soil prep?
Well, our soil is, you know, our environment can be very productive. In areas where you see creosote means you have probably a very deep, you know, topsoil structure to begin with. Now, what we don't have is much organic material and the bioorganisms that are associated with organic material in our soil, just because we have so little rainfall and no, you know, history of biodecomposition in our soils from plant and animal life. You know, because it's a sparsely populated area with very little rainfall. You can take this old desert soil and bury some newspaper in it and go back 10 years later and still read it. You know, it just it won't break down. It's too dry. So so what we need to do is add, in general, good organic material. Whether you make your own compost or you go to the nursery and buy compost, peat moss, you know, manures, anything that's organic in nature, and work that into your soil. Make sure it's well composted if you're going to plant right away. If you've got enough time, you can use raw manures or, you know, green waste that's not completely composted and till that in. But it ought to change the color of your soil. That's what I always tell people. They come from Iowa and they come into the nursery and they want some black dirt like I had at home. I'm like, well, you got to make your own black dirt here. So you buy good dark organic material and you work it in and till it in, and you know, maybe up to a foot deep, and you turn that brown desert soil into good black earth. And along with that, you should add some gypsum because of our high alkalinity, and that'll help neutralize that to some degree. And maybe some, you know, organic or fertilizer, particularly nitrogen. One of the things that goes along with not having a lot of rainfall is also being very low in nitrogen, and that's what makes plants grow leaves and stems and the green portion of the plant that we see. So some organic fertilizer, some gypsum, and lots of organic material, and till it in good and turn that color of that soil dark, and you're ready to go.
If you're starting a garden area from scratch, John Jay, how would you irrigate it?
Well, it would depend on how big it is.
Let's say it's a 4x4 raised planter.
Little 4x4 raised planter. I have one of those metal galvanized horse troughs.
Yeah.
As a raised planter.
Okay.
It's not, you know, it's narrow and long. Same idea, though.
Yes.
And what I did is I ran up through the drain hole. They come with a way you can empty them if you use it as a horse trough. So you don't want to plug that up. Leave that hole open. And up through the bottom of that, I ran some of that drip tubing that's perforated every 12 inches or so. And I just kind of snake that around the top of the garden when I'm done planting. When I need to plant, I kind of pull it all off to the side and mix all my stuff in there. And then when I'm done planting, I just kind of weave that in and around. And I just use a soak. So I use it as a soaker mechanism. For a small garden, I think that's some type of soaker tubing or drip tubing or something like that.
Sure, the most efficient. Really well. I mean, you're not losing any to spray or evap or...
Well, and it's hard to control spray in a small area. Now, if you've got a great big, really big garden, sometimes spray is the most effective, efficient way to do that. You know, with putting up, whether it's lawn pop-ups or spray heads or, you know, depending on, again, how big it really is. Plus, you can keep the irrigation out of the middle of your garden that way, which makes it easier to get in when you do need to rototill and work the garden. You're not working around pipes and tubing.
Well, you know, you know I'm famous for my $64 tomato.
Right.
I haven't had my sprinklers on since Thanksgiving. And I've got two tomato buds. I'm going to break that $64 barrier. I'm gonna get them under
30.
I'm gonna get them under 60.
Absolutely, but man, you're gonna enjoy them.
Oh yeah,
that first BLT sandwich will be awful good.
But peppers and artichokes and arugula and onions and green onions. Our garden looks better than it's the best garden we've ever had.
Awesome. That's great. You know, and I know you've been working at it a while, and that's the one thing about gardens. So whether it's raised beds or in-ground gardens, a guy told me one time, Rick Kober told me, he said, this garden soil's like soup. It just the more, you know.
Oh, man.
It just, you keep adding, and every year it gets better and better. Finally, it's kind of like you hit that crescendo, that critical mass with the soil. It's like, okay. It's kind of like a bird dog. It finally gets it.
Yeah,
you can't. The soil is just like, boom, okay, I'm a garden now.
Yeah, you can't believe the crop of good fishing worms I got.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
It is full of worms.
Nice.
It is.
Need to go.
And I find myself, the first thing I do when I come home now is I go out to the garden and I measure that tomato butt. That's the first thing I do is go home and walk out to the garden. Is it making it?
All right.
Come on, baby.